وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء. بارك الله فيك حضرة مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for all the sacrifices you make for his beautiful deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you and your family. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhin astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International. Tonight, the 17th Taraweeh was performed and the recitation of the 18th Para had taken place, which begins and commences with Surah Mu'minun. The principles of Deen are discussed in the Surah. In the beginning 9 verses, 7 such qualities of the believers have been mentioned, due to which they will become worthy of Jannatul Firdaus. And these qualities are mentioned here under. They have true Iman, which is free from hypocrisy and ostentation, no show whatsoever. Then they have khushu in Allah, in Salah, that is, they stand in front of Allah with humility and fear. They refrain from laghu and futile things. So laghu refers to every such statement in an action in which there is no benefit. They discharge their zakat in a perfect manner, thus they fulfill the rights of people as well as the rights of Allah. They protect themselves from adultery and immoral acts. They fulfill their promises and protect those things which have been entrusted to them. They protect their salah, they bear in mind its times as well as its etiquettes and fundamental. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسِ These are the inheritors and they will inherit Jannat al-Firdaus. Beautiful qualities that have been mentioned. Now after mentioning the qualities of the believers, the proofs of Iman found in the life of man and the different stages of his creation are mentioned. The Quran has mentioned the different stages of man's creation in the womb of the mother hundreds of years ago, when the Arab and non-Arab philosophers and scientists did not have the courage to utter anything regarding it. Today's modern science and medical research also verifies these stages. After mentioning the proofs of Iman found in men, 3 proofs found in the physical world are mentioned. The creation of the 7 heavens and the amazing creations that exist within. The falling down of rain and the growing of different grains and plants due to it. The creation of livestock and benefits in them like milk, meat, wool, being able to ride on them and to load goods on them. Now after mentioning the proofs of Allah's power and oneness, the surah now moves to the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salam. In this regard, the incidents of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, Hazrat Hud, Hazrat Salih, Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Harun, and Hazrat Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salam have been mentioned. All these Anbiya had one call, one program, and one purpose, is to bring the people towards the ibadat and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and foremost to invite them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It seems as if all of them were sent in one era and to one place. On one side are those people who are involved in fighting and arguing with each other, and their hearts are drowned in ignorance and negligence. On the other side are those pious servants of Allah who have love for each other. Their hearts are alive and enlightened with the light of guidance. So there are four outstanding qualities in these people. They fear the punishment of Allah Ta'ala. They believe in the signs of Allah, be it His laws or His signs in the world. They abstain from show and do every action sincerely, solely for the pleasure of Allah. They have the quality of ihsan, that in spite of doing good actions, they are fearful, not knowing if their actions are accepted by Allah or not. And in contrast to these sincere believers are those unfortunate and deprived ones who mock the Quran, and they mock Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran mentions three major reasons for their mockery and disobedience. They do not use their intelligence. Instead of pondering over the Quran, they reject and mock it. They falsify the Messenger of Allah only due to obstinacy and stubbornness. It is not that they did not know him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They knew very well his truthfulness, his trustworthiness, his family lineage, his status, and his personality. They knew that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never ever speak lies. And the third reason is mentioned in an interrogative method. Do they see the signs of madness in Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma'adallah? Definitely, some of them used to attribute madness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said he was majnoon. However, the actual reason for falsifying him was not that they, ma'adallah, we seek refuge with Allah, regarded him to be mad. The main reason was that they did not like the truth, and they wanted to see the truth subservient to their desires, where if truth had to follow their desires, then there would have been disorder in the system of the universe. So after proving Tawheed and refuting Shirk, at the end of the surah we are informed that on the day of Qiyamah, man will be divided into two groups. Those who are fortunate and those who are unfortunate. The book of deeds of the fortunate, the su'ada, will be weighty, while the book of deeds of the unfortunate, the ashqiya, will be light. Their context will not be of any assistance to them. The believers will desire to return to this, the disbelievers, they will desire to return to this world. And it is obvious that their desires will not be fulfilled. They will be reminded that they used to mock the people of Iman. Thus today there is nothing but loss for them. Then they will be questioned, how many years did you live in the world? They will say, we live for a day or part of a day. Ask those who counted. So Allah Ta'ala will say, you did not live but for a short while, if only you knew. That is, if there was some intelligence and understanding in you, then you would have known that this world was despicable, and but for a short while. The purpose of asking them this question will be to afflict them in extra sorrow and to explain the loneliness of this worldly life in comparison to the everlasting life of the hereafter. On this day, they will also experience the loneliness and confinement of this worldly life. In the last verse, Allah Ta'ala teaches all of mankind through the means of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we should supplicate to him with the following dua: Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. O my Rabb, forgive me, have mercy on me, and you are the most merciful of those who show mercy. Then Surah Nur was also recited in Taraweeh. It is a Madani surah, and it is called Surah Nur because the word Nur is mentioned in it. In the verse, Allahu Nurus Samawati wal Ard. The second reason for its name is that such etiquettes, virtues, laws, and rules are mentioned, which lightens and brightens the road of social life. So in this surah, mostly those laws are mentioned which are related to chastity and modesty. Therefore, a special command has been given that women should be taught this surah. Hazrat Mujahid stated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, teach your men folk Surah Maida and your women folk Surah Nisa. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala also emphasized the teaching of this surah to women. Now, the first and second law is regarding the punishment meted out to fornicators. An unmarried fornicator will be given 100 lashes, which is mentioned in the Quran. If a fornicator is married, then he will be stoned to death, as has been mentioned in the Mutawatir Hadith. So an inherent trait of fornicators has been mentioned. There is only those people are ready to be their partners in life who themselves are fornicators and evil people. Then the fifth thing mentioned in the form of a story is the incident of ifk. Ifk means slander and lies. This law was revealed when some hypocrites slandered Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this was a very great slander uttered against a noble personality, the pure wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the spiritual mother of the Muslims. So Allah Ta'ala mentions this incident in 10 verses. In these verses, the hypocrites are criticized. Muslims are cautioned never again to become part of these types of false accusations, and the purity and chastity of the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is declared. This is the first time in the history of mankind that the purity of any personality has been mentioned via revelation. This is one of the specialities of our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then there's a command regarding the permission and etiquette of entering the home. We should not enter anyone's house without permission. It is mustahab that salam be offered before seeking permission. And then there's a the command has been given to men and women that they should lower their gazes and protect their private parts. So women have been granted permission to make apparent their zenith beauty to their husbands, their fathers, their father-in-laws, sons, husband's sons from other marriages, brothers, nephews, brothers and sisters, women, slave girls, those men who have no desire for women, and those children who are not aware of the affairs of women. And then the eighth command given is that the marriages of free men and women, as well as slaves who can fulfill the rights of marriage, should be performed. Then the tenth command comes as a refutation of one completely haram manner of earning wealth during the days of ignorance. Before the revelation of the Quran, some oppressive and greedy people used to force their slave girls to fornicate in exchange for money, while that is known as prostitution. And after mentioning these 10 laws and etiquettes, mention is made of beliefs, iman, and the light of truth, by means of which Allah Ta'ala guides the creation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some examples regarding falsehood. And the first is in regard to their actions which they regard as good. Allah ta'ala states, the examples of their actions is like a mirage. A thirsty person looking at a mirage from a distance thinks it to be water. However, when he comes close, he does not find a trace of water. This is the condition of the disbeliever who regards his actions as beneficial. But when he will have to face Allah Ta'ala after death, then there will be nothing for him. His actions will turn into dust and fly away. In the second example, their beliefs have been likened to the layers of darkness of the ocean, where a man cannot even see his own hand. This is the condition of a disbeliever who is wandering around lost in the darkness of disbelief and misguidance. After mentioning the examples of the people of truth and falsehood, mention is made of the proofs of Allah's presence and oneness found in the form of the changing of the night and day, the falling of rain, the creation of the heavens and the earth, the flight of birds, and the creation of different types of livestock. After mentioning the proofs of Tawheed, the comparison between the believers and hypocrites, and the promise of Khilafat, vicegerency, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you bring iman and you work righteous deeds, then I will give you the vicegerency of the earth. And three more laws of social life have been mentioned. The first is regarding small children and those male and female slaves who live in the house. If they wish to enter one's private room before Fajr, in the afternoon, as Qailula, that is siesta time, and after Isha, then they should seek permission and enter, because during these times, formal clothing is removed and sleepwear is worn. So Islam guards privacy as well. The second command is that when the children mature, then like other mature people, it is compulsory on them that whenever they come home, they should seek permission, or they should in any other way inform of their coming, that is by coughing or making a sound with their shoe. The third command is regarding those women who are very old and have passed the age of marriage. If they remove the outward clothing of parda, then there is no harm. Adding these three to the 10 mentioned before, a total of 13 laws and etiquettes have been mentioned. And the 14th etiquette is that when entering one's house, salam should be made. The 15th etiquette is that when sitting in any gathering regarding community consultation, then one should not leave without permission. And the 16th etiquette is that Allah's messenger should not be called as people call one another. And the surah terminates with a message, the whole universe is under the power and knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala knows the conditions and actions of all. On the day of Qiyamah, every person will be informed regarding the actions that he used to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.